Christian Glaser brings the conversation to a national level, looking at how young people's voices feed into government decisions. He speaks to Minister Norma Foley, Minister for Children, Disability and Equality, and Minister Dara Cleary, who's Minister for Rural and Community Development, about how issues facing young people are shaping policy.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill and is funded by Cumasún na mBan with the television licence fee.
Your day is not our day. It's different. And I don't think anyone was prepared for how different it could be.
The environment's central to our lives anyway. With social media and everything, the news always going on about climate change, you can't really not be interested in it.
We deserve to have our opinions heard and decisions that affect us, not just when we're grown up and have the right to vote, but now.
This is Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today shaping tomorrow.
My name is Christian Glaser, and I'm a member of Kerry Corlin and Oak, the Kerry Youth Council. Through this, I've been involved in representing young people in discussions about issues like youth mental health, school stress, transport, and facilities for young people. In the last episode of Voices of the Future in Kerry, I explored how young people in Kerry are raising these issues and influencing decisions at a local level. But many of the policies that affect young people's lives, from education and mental health to rural development, are shaped at a national level. So in this episode of Voices of the Future in Kerry, I'm exploring how young people's voices are included in national politics and decision making. I speak with Dara Cleary, the Minister for Rural and Community Development, and Norma Foley, the Minister for Children, Disability and Equality, about the challenges facing young people and how those issues are addressed at a national level. I begin by asking Minister Norma Foley how the government ensures that young people's voices are included in policy and decision making.
My department, we actually have a dedicated participation, play and recreation unit focused on providing opportunities for young people, but also ensuring that the voices of young people are at the centre of all that we seek to achieve, but also what wider government would seek to achieve. In 2021, a new National Participation Office was established, and that really was to manage all the different vehicles, if you like, that exist within the department to hear the voice and to access the voice of young people. So we ensure that we are facilitating other departments so that they would have an opportunity to hear the voices of young people as they develop policy as well.
Do you think that young people are listened into enough, or are we still falling short and there's more we could do?
In my term as Minister for Education, I made very sure that students would sit at the decision-making table, the partnership table. Students now sit alongside parent representatives, staff representatives, management body representatives, and all of those partners. Now, I always do say to the students, just because you sit at the table, it doesn't mean to say that you get what you want. But the important thing is that you bring your perspective to the table. I also appointed, for the very first time in the history of the state, students to the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment. So that would be the body that is charged with developing new curricula or having the vision as to what curricula will follow in the different subjects and so on and so forth. And students sit at that table now as well. I don't think it should be limited just to education. It should be right across government. So the participation unit that you have worked with, they have facilitated more than 4,000 young people now to get involved this past year in government decision making. So it's been rich and varied, the things that young people have engaged in. Corlin Oak, Dáileann Óg, Shannon Dáileann Óg, all of that. But they've also shared their experiences in the developing of particular policies. Lots of different opportunities now, because I think right across government, people are recognising that it is policy is more enriched when you have embedded in it the views, the experiences, the ambitions and expectations of young people.
Many young people say the school stress with homework and exam pressure is one of their biggest mental health issues. I'm just wondering if there are any upcoming reforms or supports that could help with this.
So I was very keen in my time as the Minister for Education to introduce a model where a student's achievement wouldn't all depend on how they did on one moment in June. So for that reason, I was very keen that we would introduce an element of the exam where it would allow for part of the exam to be done in advance. And in my experience, some young people are incredibly gifted when it comes to recording something on paper. Others, their real gift is when it's to communicate it, when it's to speak it orally, or maybe when it's to showcase how they've created something. And I think all of those talents should be acknowledged equally in an exam. It is my view the new senior cycle, reform senior cycle, will allow for that. And the final thing I'll say about the senior cycle reform, I was really proud to introduce a new subject, drama, film and theatre studies. I think having an education system that, number one, has a variety of different types of assessments, as I've just said, but also has subjects that students are interested in and that they can identify with. So the two new subjects in particular, drama, film and theatre studies and climate action and sustainability, I think many students will find those appealing. It shouldn't finish there. We need to continually be seeking ways of doing better, doing more to support students, to limit stress. And if we put students at the centre of it and their ability to shine, well, then we should be open to finding new ways to do that.
What further steps your department and the government as a whole is taking to support young people's youth mental health?
At this point in time, the investment in mental health is around 1.6 billion euro. Almost 3 million of it was specifically providing, I suppose, youth mental health supports and developing new emergency liaison services and youth mental health hubs. The other aspect of that I'm particularly keen on, and it was one that has been really advanced by Minister Butler, was around early intervention. You know, that more and more in our schools, in our local communities, we talk about the importance of mental health. We talk about the importance of engaging with one another. We talk about the importance of when somebody has challenges or difficulties, the willingness to speak about it and to speak openly. I suppose other elements of mental health as well that the minister has worked on are, you know, supports in terms of eating disorder teams and a whole variety of different work that needs to be done. This, again, like lots of other things in government, is an unfinished journey. But I do think more and more a light is shining on the importance of mental health. I think obviously we will need to continue to work in this vein as well.
National policy also has a major impact on young people living in rural communities. So I speak with Minister Dara Cleary about the challenges facing rural young people and how national policy can respond to them.
So last year we had a specific rural youth assembly with young people from across the country. There were 60 involved between the age of 12 and 25 from all rural areas. And we looked at a number of challenges: access to services, employment opportunities, housing, geography, transport was a major one on the day. And we're currently compiling all of their submissions into the new Our Rural Future, which I will be launching at the beginning of this summer. And that then will be the policy scaffolding document for between now and 2030.
Access to youth facilities and community spaces is another issue often raised by young people. I ask how national policy supports the development of these spaces.
Many of the projects I've been involved in those over the years have involved youth services and creating youth services. We have given money for communities or for local authorities to acquire old buildings, to repurpose them, and to repurpose them to provide community services, including young people services. We have spent about 100 million in Community Centre Investment Fund since 2022. And over that time, there's been a 90% increase in the usage of those centres that have been refurbished. They're much more attractive spaces to come, particularly for young people. I place an emphasis on all of my programs that young people are involved, young people have input, that they actually get to drive what's being provided, they get to drive the facility that's being provided. And I certainly would support any community and any local authority around the country who have plans to set up youth hubs, who have plans to run those and provide services. But most importantly, it can't be by the local authority. It can't be by the village. It has to be, have the voices of young people involved in the inception of the project, in the design of the project, in the rollout of it, and in the running of it.
Transport is another challenge many young people face, particularly in rural areas, where getting from one place to the next isn't always easy.
Transport, as I said, at the Rural Youth Assembly was the big issue. We're working on a number of schemes around that with my colleague Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Transport. Localink, I think, has been transformative. I was with a project the other day called TFI on Shop. It's Localink on demand. It's a pilot service. I think it's running in Achill, and it may be running in Killarney as well, where literally you can ring a bus on demand and it will come and collect you and bring you to your appointment between particular hours. And I think I'd like to see that pilot extended. And that ultimately will give chances, A, to be part of the community and not to be dependent on a car or having a car available to you or on a bike. You'll be part of the community, be able to take part in community activities. Doing driving lessons and road safety at transition year is something that will be important for me as well, to give proper training in a structured manner. And I think everybody in rural areas should be given access to that skill.
Throughout these conversations, one message comes through clearly. Young people's voices matter in shaping the future of their communities and their country. As our conversation comes to a close, I ask both Minister Dara Cleary and Minister Norma Foley what message they have for young people today.
Get involved if you have a town team in your area. Get involved in your local community centre. You know, come together with your friends and get involved in the running of a facility and bring your new ideas to it. I'll back any community that takes initiative.
More and more government, the world of politics, is recognising the unique and the important perspective that young people bring to the table. So get involved in your own local community, and that feeds itself up, I suppose, to national policy as well. So your voice is valued, your opinions are valued, you are making an enormous difference. Your views, your opinions, your experiences, if you feed them into local policy and national policy, it will make for a better society.
Politics and policy shape many parts of young people's lives, from education and transport to opportunities in our communities. But another issue young people consistently raise is mental health. In the next episode of Voices of the Future in Kerry, Shona O'Sullivan shares a personal perspective on the pressures young people face today, drawing on her own TEDx talk and the experiences that shaped it.
Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today, shaping tomorrow.